Dear Lord, it's time for another trailer dump. Non-productive's attempt to be commercially viable in this grim dystopian future. Also, it's the holiday season, so that means we're going to be covering nothing but Oscar bait, right? Nothing but Oscar bait. Highbrow, top shelf films for us on this episode, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
All the good stuff.
All the good stuff.
Yep.
That's all right. Yes. Yeah, so let's get deep into it. Let's get right into these wonderful films.
Boss Baby 2.
Oh, wow. Is there going to be a Boss Baby 2?
Undoubtedly. Yeah. No, actually, there's going to be a Boss Baby Netflix series.
Yeah, it's an part of what Netflix released in their huge thing recently. Amongst, like you mentioned, Pete, on our fan club in Facebook.com.
I want to see a trailer for this. Why can't we have a trailer for this yet?
Yeah, She-Ra. She-Ra reboot. That's going to be awesome.
She-Ra.
Yeah, I'd much rather talk about that than commercials for movies. But here we are. Paying
the
bills.
This is what we do.
So, slightly less ridiculous than Boss Baby 2, our first Oscar contender is, let's just do this one, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. I have not seen Jurassic World. I did not. I wanted to see it. It's just, I was very busy. It was Oscar season. I was watching other dinosaur-related products. Mm-hmm. For those of you who did, do you feel like this trailer does honor to the original?
It certainly looks better than the original.
Does it?
I mean, yeah, it certainly looks better than Jurassic World, actually.
Do you mean that, like, graphically, the dinosaurs look better and the world looks
actually,
better?
Actually, yeah, the dinosaurs do look a little bit better. But more than that, this seems a little bit more interesting than what was going on in the movie. The first Jurassic World was a monster movie. That's what it was, first and foremost. It was a weird chameleon dinosaur breaks out in the park, and horror ensues. This looks a little bit more than just monster movie. This looks like there's some semblance of a plot as they have to go save the dinosaurs.
This is a disaster film. This is a disaster film with dinosaurs. This is a volcano explodes and dinosaurs.
Yeah, this looks like Dino-cano.
No, at one point an eruption does make dinosaurs come falling out. So maybe, Dino-cano.
Yeah.
You know what? Mint. I know we don't rank a review trailers here.
I can't even take credit for that, because I have to believe somebody pitched that as a subtitle for this.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Or it was pitched into, like, when they were pitching the film, like, listen, guys, follow me on this, Dino-cano.
Uh-huh.
Like, all right, we want to hear more. Go on. Yeah. Like, that's how we got in the room.
I'm listening.
Speaking of Dino-cano, I think we should go on to the next big, huge trailer that landed, Ready Player One. So Ready Player One is based on a book, and for that alone, I'm shocked anybody cares about it. You know, we are not a literate society in this room right now, speaking.
Wait, doesn't Jurassic World 2 count as being based on a book?
I guess so. I can't remember.
Yeah, Michael Crichton wrote, like, two of those.
Yeah, but those were just... Michael Crichton books are basically screenplays in book form. He writes the novelizations of movies before he makes them into movies, or that's what he used to do. Ready Player One is, like, this legendary novel that was supposed to be unadaptable until Steven Spielberg got his hands on it. What is it? Set in a dystopian future? Or a semi-dystopian future?
Yeah, not necessarily
post-apocalyptic. It's kind of dystopian.
It's not necessarily post-apocalyptic. It's just, like, it's dystopian. It's corporations have sort of taken over a little bit more harder, and, like, the rest of the world's fallen on harder times.
It's suggesting that this happens less than 30 years in the future. And honestly, that feels too close and maybe accurate as well. Like, I could kind of see how, you know, if social media keeps growing the way it is, then maybe, yeah, we will all, you know, maybe this really is the year VR takes off, because it would have to. Pokemon Go has got to get AR going, then VR, and then we're good.
Yep.
And then there's this world over the kind of world that we're in. It's a world where everybody gets lost in VR. And this is the first time I've actually heard the plot of Ready Player One. Trailer does a good job of getting that across.
It does.
I guess there's, like, a Willy Wonka-esque person. Or Willy Wonka meets Mark Zuckerberg, Bill Gates, who put an Easter egg that you could control.
And instead of Oompa Loompas, he has licensed video game properties.
Yeah, that's the big sell on this, right? All the licensed properties are supposed to show up in this story.
Well, yeah, it just seems like not only do you see a bunch of stuff that you really recognize, like the plot itself is also kind of a piecemeal together.
Oh yeah,
from Ready Player One.
Oh, all right.
Oh, okay.
So it's interesting because it is basically like this hodgepodge of all these different sort of, like, we saw Iron Giant come by at one point.
Yeah, that's my thing. Is like this thing is supposed supposed to be fueled by references, and I saw a few here and there. Some of them that were very the obvious one at the get go was the DeLorean, right? Yeah. That gets some screen time.
The guy goes in the Oasis, plugs into his VR, and he has a DeLorean car.
That's cool, and it ends on a pretty clear Iron Giant, which is I would think semi obscure. Yeah. It's not. Somewhat. It's certainly not a franchise. It's not like all the Iron Giant movies are referenced in this. But I didn't pick up on anything else. What did you guys see? Just shotgun, splatter gun.
King Kong.
Overwatch. I did see King Kong, yeah.
There
yeah.
was a Gundam in there.
Yeah.
I saw Ryu and Chun-Li. Yeah.
You did?
There was a Tracer from Overwatch.
Yeah.
Was in there. Good Lord. Speed Racer's car is in there, too.
All right, we're actually looking at it really quickly in the background right now.
Yeah.
There are a few things. They're blinking, you miss it. And yeah. I know it's a trailer.
Oh, there's
totally
a few Tron cycles I think I saw there, too.
Oh, you're right. You know, some of these things just sort of blend in the background. I wonder how much of this will be affected by parody culture. Because, like, when I saw the DeLorean, I wasn't like, a DeLorean! I was like, yeah, a DeLorean. I saw one on American Dad this week. So, like, it's gotten to the point where, like, I guess I kind of expect to see all this stuff everywhere. I don't know. It seems interesting, but I'm wondering how it's going to ride the line of constant reference and standalone story that's interesting.
I'm getting equal parts Willy Wonka, The Hunger Games, and Wreck-It Ralph.
All right, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah, Wreck-It Ralph would be a good milestone because they were there, certainly, but they were gags, right? Mm-hmm. The classic video game characters. All right, so that's going to be interesting. Speaking of Oscar noms, here's one film that I originally thought might be an Oscar nom. There's been a trend lately in cerebral science fiction, right? So these are movies that are sci-fi movies, but they're not popcorn films or things to make you leave thinking about it. Gravitation is one of them.
Basically, to be considered for an Oscar, your sci-fi movie has to have a one-word title.
Right, so there's Arrival, there's Interstellar, there's Passengers, and now we have this film, Annihilation. So when I first heard about it, it was supposed to be like a sci-fi film that makes you think. There's a strange field that appears in the middle of some woods area, and a scientist has to go in and explore it because the field keeps getting bigger, and whatever enters the field, nothing ever escapes. This trailer gives us a lot more information than what I originally had. It's some sort of mutagenic field where everything in there is like rapidly evolving in unusual ways. From what I heard originally, this was supposed to be an extremely cerebral story about what life is and what alien is and where the line between our future and where we're going as a species can be drawn. I'm not sure if that's true or not. From the vibe I got in this trailer, it was almost an Aliens movie.
Yeah,
right,
almost.
With like a mutant monsters attacking, which is often a bad thing. When a trailer misframes a movie, which I can't say it's doing in this case because I haven't seen the movie, but that's usually bad news. People go in there expecting one thing and then get another one and you get bad reviews.
Yeah, it definitely felt much more, again, like a monster film because you have all of them cowering in an attic somewhere as the monsters.
The cabin in the woods, literally.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it definitely gives off that vibe, and it's very hard not to considering like all those tropes get rolled in there.
But there's some interesting things I've noticed in this that I'm not even sure were intentional or how they're intentional. Natalie Portman is the main character in this. Jennifer Jason Leigh seems like she's like the leader of the scientist group that's going in there.
Yeah.
Newcomer Tessa Thompson is in it. So it seems like the main crew of investigators who are going in there trying to figure out what's going on is this female cast, right? And in fact, Natalie Portman's character is going in there to save her beau. So I don't know if this is given any explanation in film as to why it's only women going in there, or if it's just a coincidence of there are three women left in the party to go in to figure out what's going on with all the soldiers that came in before. It seems interesting. I don't know. I feel like I'm curious to know more about this film. But I also am like worried it's gonna get hamstringed just because of misjudgment. You know, like bad advertising, bad trailer. You know what I mean? Even though the trailer itself was okay, it just may be misleading.
Yeah.
Speaking of misleading, Al, you wanted us to watch this.
Yeah, it's Alita: Battle Angel, and I saw this trailer, and, like, it's another attempt at a live-action anime film.
Because those are always so successful.
Yeah, really. Because like, Ghost in the Shell did so well, right, guys? Like,
and I didn't even realize it was released. Yeah. I totally didn't know.
Exactly, right? There you go. And I'm just looking at it, and, like, it looks interesting. I like some of the CG in it, but the main character, I'm not really sure why they opted to be, like, full-on anime, big eyes, everything on that. Yeah, I think it's a little off, but also, I mean, if there's an explanation as to why it's happening in universe,
yeah,
I'll be honest. I think I saw the anime, like, back when I was in high school.
Okay.
And I remember it being, like, just an action
fest. This is
creepy.
This is super uncanny valley.
Yeah, it is.
The big eyes on this, I assume it's because she's some sort of synthetic being. She's a robot.
Yeah.
And that I guess we don't have to make robots look too human in the future or whatever this is. Whatever the reason, everything in this looks creepy to me. I don't want to watch any of it. And then the subtext is even worse. There's this scene in the trailer where I guess Alita is with her human bow saying, I will do anything for you. I give all of myself to you, even my heart. And I'm like, you know what? This is creepy.
A little bit.
This is odd. This is not something it's in the 21st century we're still okay with. Certainly not in 2017 or 2018 when this film was being released,
yeah.
Where we have this, what's the word for it in anime? Magic girl?
Waifu?
Maybe waifu.
The magic girl is like a transforming thing.
Yeah, well, effectively, this is a transforming robot who grants all her boyfriend's wishes, right? That's, I think, close to what I'm...
That's definitely, that's an anime trope,
yeah,
absolutely.
And I'm like, all right.
Girl falls from the sky and
right,
like,
she's
yeah.
incredibly powerful, yet somehow smitten with your average loser... protagonist.
Born Sexy Yesterday, I think,
yeah,
is the trope.
Yeah, I don't know about any of this. And it's ugly. It's really
yeah.
ugly looking. It's creepy. I don't know. This whole thing is unsettling to me, and I want nothing of it.
But it has, like, decent actors in it, and it's like...
True. There, Jennifer Connelly, I love. Who is our main character? Who's that? Not the main character. Who's the human who finds Anita and activates her?
The guy from Inglorious Bastards.
Yes.
His name escapes me.
Christoph Waltz.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's... So, yeah. I mean, potential. It's a trailer. I don't know. But I will not go to sleep tonight thinking about those giant eyes swallowing me, telling me how much that they will do anything for me.
And then literally hand you their heart.
Yeah, no. None of that. None of it.
You could wear it on your sleeve.
Ooh, I don't think that's how it's supposed to work. But on the other side of the scale, and visually stunning, I would say Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I've wrote about it on the website. This trailer looks really cool.
It does.
It's
fun.
Miles Morales' introduction into, I guess, a feature film. This is going to be a feature animated film from Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And cool. You know, it looks really good. I like the way they do the Spider-Sense. It seems like when his spider sense is tingling, it goes into like traditional animation as opposed to like digital animation, which is for like a split second. And that looks really cool. I love his look. I love the hoodie. I love the gigantic eyes. I love him hanging out with like Chucks on the side of a building. I like all of that. I've not read a lot of Miles Morales. I don't know why everybody likes him so much. I'm hoping that this will open up that doorway for me.
I'm interested in it, and I'm also, like, I like that we get to see, like, the Peter Parker grave in that trailer as well.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah.
The implied Peter Parker grave,
because you only
get
Peter
the PP.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I like, it's definitely, I don't know, I'm interested to see, like, because in the Spider-Verse concept, I think, is that there's a bunch of different Spider-Men from a different,
different
or Spider
characters.
Universes.
Yeah. And, like,
at
I
least
like
that's
the,
what the comic book was.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's what this is.
No, I feel like it is, because at the end they give you the hint of, like, so how
many
of us are there?
Right.
And I'm like...
But at the beginning, it says it's a universe where there's more than one Spider-Man.
Mm. Right. Which would be the
ultimate. Which seems to say that it's one universe.
Oh.
Well, the Ultimate Universe only had one Spider-Man at a time.
Yeah, but...
Because Miles didn't show up until after Peter died.
Yeah. Right. I guess, spoiler. But the... I don't know. I would suspect that it might be two things. I think that it may be the Spider-Verse concept of multiverse of Spider-Man, and also the, but we're focusing on Miles for this one.
I'm hoping that's the case.
Yeah.
That sounds like the best possible scenario.
Yes. Though, despite that, and I'm again saying that Miles looks awesome in this, and I think it should be Miles focused and probably will be.
Yeah.
Round table. Which alternate Spider-Man would you most want to see in this? You don't have to be specific, but you could say whatever you want.
Spider-Gwen.
Spider-Gwen.
Absolutely, 100% cool. Spider-Gwen.
Yeah.
Japanese Spider-Man with Leopardon.
You know what? I honestly gave you that one. I was going to say that. 100%. I'm going to go for the 1970s TV show Spider-Man, who I don't even know if it's ever been officially recognized in the comics, but him, definitely. Wait. Oh, you know what?
Like his series or his appearances on the Electric Company?
No, his series is like
because I know the Electric Company has been in the comics.
Actually, I want to put an asterisk on this. I have a different one I want to mention, but I'll listen to Popes first.
I was going to say Spider-Man 2099 because it's always fun having a techie Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I like that. I'm gonna change this. Tobey Maguire. Maguire Spider-Man.
Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. I thought just Tobey Maguire.
Well, it has to be Tobey Maguire, who is, I actually, honestly, not even voicing, I'd like him to live action be in this. Just be like, yes, there are lots of Spider-Mans.
Screen him in.
Not even green screen. Just have him really sloppily added in digitally where it's clearly obvious. You can see that he doesn't fit into the background.
The other good one would be Hostess Cream Pie. Or Hostess Fruit Pie hawking Spider-Man?
I think all of them should hawk a Hostess Fruit Pie, and that'd be great.
Peter Porker, the Amazing Spider-Ham.
No,
not him. He's played out.
And a throwback to Bagman.
Oh, all right. So I guess let's move on. We have our two obligatory trailers we need to bring up. Let's go on with the one that we have not actually talked about on a trailer dump at all. The Infinity War trailer. The first one dropped a little while ago. It seems pretty interesting. It's awesome that this is happening. I don't know if the trailer itself blew my mind away, except it's still a delight to see Spider-Man in the family.
As much as I enjoyed it and like I'm really excited for the movie, I can't wait for this. You know, it's part of my reason for being right now.
Right.
It starts off with, you know, all of the voiceover of the characters, and it just feels like fan-made cobble together of a fake trailer that I've seen before. And I'm like...
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe fake trailers are just getting really good at making trailers.
Well, that too, but I think if that happens, then real trailers need to up their game be better than the fake trailers.
Yeah, this does come off like a fan trailer. I do not like the way Thanos looks, I think, especially without a hat. I don't know, he just seems odd. He needs a hat.
Like a festive beanie.
He seems like a bloated Bruce Willis is what I've heard people refer to him as. I've heard him, Hellboy's dad is the famous one.
I've heard roided out California raisin.
Right, that's good.
Who's the Pawn Star guy that a lot of people say? Yes.
All right, good.
I so love his look, actually. Yeah. I love the kind of weird golden, kind of almost wife beater-esque like shirt that he has on. Because I really like this concept and the idea, at least in my own headcanon, that he's kind of rocking in business casual. Like, he's not really dressed up in his nines or in his, like, conquering gear. He's just, like...
This is not a thing for me.
Yeah, What, you think I dress up for this? No, I'm here to collect my stuff.
Pete, I have a question for you specifically. Yes, sir. Do you think they get his tone right in the trailer? Thanos' tone? No?
No.
I feel like he's a little too... reserved and grandiose in a weird way.
I don't get any kind of grandiose from him. I mean, he should be speaking in words that you need a thesaurus to understand.
I feel like what he's saying does, if you listen to the words of what he's saying, like put aside Brolin's take on it, it's weird because it's a god speaking to ants. It's like, you know, whatever you try, it's not going to matter. That kind of thing. I get it, but I guess I don't understand why he's talking to them at all. It seems, I feel like they're aiming for it, which is good, but I don't know if they quite hit it.
I know they didn't hit it.
I was
actually very disappointed by the trailer.
Oh, that's a shame.
Mostly because, and I don't know if it's because I'm a super fan, and I know the source material, and I know the movies. I've seen all of the movies leading up to this. But this trailer didn't really show me anything that I wasn't expecting already.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's like this was, there are no zero surprises
I think that's,
that make me want to see it any more than I already do.
I think that's the reason why I was so happy. Well, the thing I pulled off of it from this was, Spider-Man's there. Because, I mean, I know he was going to be there, but it's still kind of novel to me that, Spider-Man will be here. He's there. He's there. He's come through. He's a comfort.
With the spider sense.
Yes, the spider sense was a cool little display of it. I like
best part's when the X-Men are going to show up.
Oh, that would blow my mind. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
The Guardians at the end was kind of cute, I guess.
It's good to know we were going to get them. I don't know. I just, I kind of a little bit understand where you guys are coming from, but I don't know. Something about it kind of gelled with me in good. The exact right way.
Well, very good. We're not going to crap on you. And to wrap things up, it's getting close. We're going to see this movie very soon. Black Panther. We saw the international trailer version 3, which was more Japanese than we expected. But still, what are our take on this Japanese language trailer for Black Panther?
I like that there's more Killmonger in this, because there wasn't really a lot of Killmonger in the other trailers. And also I like that we finally get his villain motivation in this, which is, hey, I want to sit on the throne, which I don't think we should have needed two trailers and finally getting an international one for him to finally get to.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was implied, but yeah.
Yeah, I think whenever you're talking about the
problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm just noticed Claw more now or using his power more, if this is the first trailer that I've seen that has that in it. I'll be honest, I know we've made this joke 1,000 times, and everyone on the internet has as well, but seeing Bilbo and Gollum having a Riddles in the Dark interview scene is not going to happen in the movie. It's not going to end with a riddle, although I would pay a lot of money to have it be that way.
Would you say it was precious if that happened?
It would be precious.
Can I just say that's the first time I've put that together?
Oh, really?
Or I've had that put together for me.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, with the interview scene.
Did not even occur to me, but yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so I would definitely put some money towards having that happen. Martin Freeman, Andy Serkis, if you want my Kickstarter dollars, you know how to get it. All right, well, that's all the trailers we have time for this week. You're welcome. That's it.
That's it, everybody. We're done. We're going to go home. You guys watch these movies.
Yeah, write us letters and asking us to stop making these, because I need some sort of reason to not.
Somebody has to stop us.
This is just too much. It's really, we've gone.
Good night, everybody.
Write your senator.
Yeah, well, if you still got one.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.